You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios for hour number two. The local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, man, like the dude just said, too. We cover down on all of it. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, so number one of the Triple Dipper has been about grassroots. I share with you stories about, like right here in our state, about like the families in Mountain Brook that got together and got some wokeness taken out of their school curriculums or teacher training. I've seen around the nation things like what happened in Virginia when parents got active and went to the school board. I can tell you about stories in any number of different communities. Well, one of them just happened right here in the state again, Vestavia. So I told you right before the break about this pretty heinous situation where the legislature passed what's known as a local bill, and it threw a tax referendum into place with nothing but like 28 days worth of notice or something like that that would have raised property taxes for the schools, do it for the children. But what we're saying is it was not well done. It was, in my opinion, it was not what I would call considerate of the constituency. Well, locals got busy. And I told you, man, you don't have to have a lot of money. You don't have to have the big marketing firms. You don't have to have the millions to throw into the grassroots infrastructure to get some things done sometimes. And one of the guys who was real involved in helping defeat that tax referendum yesterday is a guy named Nick Adams. Nick is on the phone with us. Nick's been volunteering for any number of things. He's very service-oriented. He was even involved in College Republicans as the chairman when he was at Auburn. He's an active citizen in Cahaba Heights, lends his abilities to support all kinds of things in that community. He was a Donald Trump delegate in 2020. He's also involved in cybersecurity, got a degree from the Birmingham School of Law. On the phone right now, Nick Adams, how you doing?
Hey, it's good to be with you, Phil. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you. And listen, if you don't mind, go ahead in your own words and tell us how you found out about this tax referendum, what your first thoughts were when you heard about it, and then what happened.
Yeah, so it's exactly as you described, and I think this topic's great about grassroots. I think this fits so nicely under that umbrella as a topic. We started getting calls about it, me and just a small group. And we were asked about our opinions about it. We were asked what we thought about it, if we knew any details and such. And to be perfectly honest, and I was even unaware of the long, extensive planning that had gone into what the works before the legislation was even pushed through and rushed through. But I knew about it because of the legislation. I did not know about anything before that, especially the planning. And I had to begin looking into it to figure out exactly what this was and where we were going to fall on it. Obviously, I'm a principled conservative. I don't take issues involving taxes lightly. And I want to know more than about who it's going to, the larger audience of who it's going to benefit. I want to know where the money's going to be spent. So we began looking into it, and we realized that we didn't know as much because there wasn't a whole lot revealed about the details. I don't want to get into motives, and I definitely don't want to suggest ill intent, but there was enough that felt like it was being disguised that made us feel uncomfortable.
Well, and I saw a video you prepared. So you and I assume some others got together, pulled a few resources. You made a video that was pretty sharp that made the case that, we want the best schools here, but we can manage the money we have without having to pay more in taxes to get it done. And that was a great message. I mean, it was a well-reasoned message. You guys weren't radical. You weren't creating the whole kind of activist mindset and drumming people up. You were literally saying, we've got a lot of money right now. Why don't we just do a better job of what we have? And, oh, by the way, 28 days to get a referendum together is not much.
Yeah, it's really not. And I really think, Phil, what we saw with this was with this vote in Vestavia is a message that we're seeing at all levels of government right now, right? I mean, at the federal level, there's a debate about raising the debt ceiling again so that we can continue with irresponsible spending. I mean, at the state level, there's legislation about issuing rebates to taxpayers and other legislation that could eliminate the grocery tax. Now in Vestavia, the people are faced with this argument about increasing taxation for the good of the children. But as the cliche goes, the devil's in the details. And I think the people resoundingly said no because they felt uncomfortable over that very issue about, hey, you're going to raise our taxes this much. You want this amount of money above what you typically operate with. But the people on the ground, we're getting crushed by inflation. Middle and lower economic classes getting crushed by inflation. And we still feel the headwinds of frightening economic times. So, I mean, those are driving forces behind this vote. We basically had a simple question. Why now? Why shiny new projects in these economic times? And the collective voice of the people rose up from the grassroots. We did that video you spoke of. We did that with our own equipment. We did it from a living room. And we just got together. We crafted a message that we believed in, and we saw the will to see it through.
What else did you do? How many people did you have directly involved? Just a small group of you? Was it a big group?
And then
did you get out there and do like a social media campaign? Did you knock on doors? What'd you do?
So it was heavily social media driven. Obviously, the video helped. There was a grassroots website created for the effort. It actually kind of takes the One Rebel, One Future message, and we just kind of replicated that from a different side, a different position. We're in a time right now where civility is getting lost as well. People feel like they can't speak their minds. Some people like us feel like they can't raise their voices because they may be attacked locally, even amongst their own friend groups, potentially, people they go to church with, et cetera. But we were a small group, but there were others, Phil. In fact, I became aware of the fact that, I was a very small part of this group, but I've since found out that there were other pockets of citizens who had limited means in the community who were still figuring out how to budget through this high inflation. And they self-organized too, and we may not know their names, but we're grateful to them for their efforts as well. We were a small four or five people, but there were other pockets who organized as well.
Well, so the outcome was pretty strong. I mean, what was? By the way, I don't know the total voter turnout. What do we know? What the total numbers of turnout? Because special elections are notoriously slim when it comes to turnout. But you guys won by like 60% to 40%, didn't you?
Yeah, that's about right. It was the total was 4,099 to 3,200. So right there, you're talking well over 7,000 votes for a local municipal special election. So
yeah.
you're not putting that lightly. Like you're not underestimating that the fact that it was a very small municipal election, and the people really got out in force. And I think that's what mattered because. I think the reason for the rush vote, anyone who knows sort of the political circumstances enough knows that if something's done in a rush manner like this in government, it's usually done with less transparency, not more.
Absolutely.
And with less transparency, the specific block group can get out en masse and swarm the polling precincts, and they can and they'll pass whatever they want to pass if fewer people know about it. But if the people on the ground get involved like this, get engaged, and tell their neighbors, did you know there's a vote and it's going to matter for all of us, like it's impacting all of us, then you get people who otherwise wouldn't have gone to the polls to go to the polls to get out and vote, and the turnout matters. When the turnout increased, in fact, if this was a higher turnout election, it was going to go down in defeat.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I mean, so you're right, on a municipal special election, and it was the only thing on the ballot, too. It was a special referendum just for this one sole issue, correct? Yeah. I mean,
that's right.
First of all, they could have waited to the primary to run this where it was on a general ballot. Mm-hmm. They could have waited until there was a next mayoral election or something where there was more in tune and people are kind of engaged with the idea of voting. They tried to slip this thing in not only on short notice, but to put it on a special one ballot, referendum or one issue referendum is just amazing to me. But then y'all spanked it. So the reality is 60-40 in political world is a huge victory. I mean, that's a 20-point margin. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen very often. And to have 7,000 plus turn out to vote and y'all win it by 60%, woo! I mean, that's take the victory lap, man. That's good stuff.
Yeah, we feel energized by it. I think a lot of this we saw when Glenn Youngkin won Virginia in a surprise election.
Yeah.
I think we saw it in school board meetings nationwide when ordinary parents like us, people who were ordinary taxpayers, have parents in the school systems, and they get concerned about what they're seeing, and they're basically told by a lot of leaders that you need to sit on the sidelines because we have one message and we're going to push this one message and we need this one message to get through. Well, there's more than one message. We have a voice too. And we wanted that to be heard. And so, yeah, it's no small thing that 7,000 people got out for this vote. And I'll add this, Phil. I actually appreciate the message that was put out by Dr. Freeman. He made this message yesterday through the media last night after the vote went down in defeat. And again this morning through an email to Vestavia Hill school family. And he basically said that this outcome of the election does not indicate a lack of support for our schools, that he's confident that we will continue to benefit from the support our community has given our school system since its inception. And I actually take that last line and say I couldn't agree more. In fact, that's what we were seeing and we believed the whole time, even before this vote. We saw the budget numbers and we said, you know, we're doing really, really well. Let's focus on fiscal responsibility and where we invest money for our children instead of this wish list we would like. So, yeah. So yeah, I mean, 7,000 people responded to that last night.
Well, man, great job to you and to all the ones who got busy. I'm just so proud for you. I'm glad that we had a chance to talk to you today and get the story. And I just think that what you've just been able to see happen and come to fruition is an affirmation that you know, good folks can get busy and things can still change. And so. Nick Adams, thanks so much for what you did. Thanks so much for coming on today.
Glad. Thanks for having me again. Love the show, and keep doing what you're doing. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Nick. Appreciate you. All right, man, that's just good stuff right there. Well, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come back. We'll move forward in the triple dipper, but I just can't say enough. Y'all get busy. Y'all get active. You find your cause. And I'm telling you, you can make a difference, just even a few of you. Just get her done. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid and conservative and just plain right. So, Boomer, did you see this story? I mean, this is totally off topic.
I like off topic stuff.
I'm winging it, man.
Wing it.
Did you see the thing about the alligator that had to be removed from right in front of a neighborhood in Madison?
In front of a neighborhood?
In Madison,
how
Alabama.
How big was this alligator? Are we talking like
6 feet?
6 foot alligator.
A 6 foot gator.
So how did they find out about this? Were people missing small puppies?
I mean,
what was going on?
I don't know. Where are the kids? I don't know. I haven't seen them in a little while.
Wow.
There's a subdivision called Mountain Brook, like the city. It's Mountain Brook Subdivision in Madison, right?
Okay, right.
And there's a picture of it on AL.com. Can you see it on my screen over here? He's just laying in front of the subdivision sign.
That's a big gator right there.
Just no.
You know, I actually heard about this a year ago that these gators and are migrating up through this way.
But how do they survive the winter?
I have no clue. I know they found a couple in Tennessee a year back or so.
Tennessee?
Yeah. So I don't know if they're just walking up there. I mean, I have no clue.
Going to have gators in Minnesota before we know it. Just traveling up the Mississippi River.
But that's a little nerve-wracking. They found a gator.
I mean, I'm looking at it right here. City of Madison put out on their Alabama, you know, City of Madison, Alabama City Hall. Let me say it right. City of Madison, Alabama.
There it is.
City Hall, Twitter. We hope to not see you later, alligator. The MPD responded this morning to a 6-foot gator off of Zert Road. Wildlife officials and an alligator wrangler. So apparently we have enough of them around here that we have gator wranglers in our area.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. But they did. Man, there he is, 6 feet long. I do not understand that.
I do not understand either right now. I'm a little...
You know, we're starting to see bears encroach this area, too.
Some bears?
Yeah, we've had... So, Etowah County here, where we are right now.
Yeah.
Just last year, there was a black bear that was wandering the streets. I mean, like, literally getting in people's trash cans here in the area. So, bears are coming south. Gators are moving north. We're pinched in the middle.
Oh, man.
What do we do? It's time to go armed.
It is.
Armed at every turn.
Watch out for those bears and gators.
Lions and tigers and bears. Oh, wow. My. All right. So, yeah. Stephen from Madison just texted in something about that. He's got the link. Alligator. There it is. I see it, Stephen. I mean, I'm looking at it too, man. It's crazy. Jeff from Indiana says, gators love global warming. Now they can all move north. JT from Lacey Springs says, I did not know this. Okay. I've not heard this. JT from Lacey Springs says, gators were released into the Wheeler Refuge in the early 80s to control beavers. Really?
What's your name?
I have not heard this. All right. Tyler from Huntsville. There are gators in Limestone Creek off the Tennessee River. Holy cow. Okay. So, in other words, be careful where you're swimming. Badger from Athens. Gators were purposely brought in to help with the beaver control. There's another confirmation. So, God almighty, that is just crazy. If I got a caller, I got about a minute and a half. I'll take that real quick. Line one, Chris from Rogersville. How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you? Glad to hear your show. Hey, alligators, according to Tennessee wildlife officials, when I was working on the river, we had to deal with them. The alligator's original range was as far north as St. Louis, Missouri.
What? St. Louis, Missouri?
That's what Tennessee wildlife told us.
Now, I remember the old days when you'd find out that people were buying little ones as pets and then flushing them down the toilet, and then they were living in the sewers in New York City. But that's unnatural. This is, you're saying, natural migration. They're winding up near St. Louis.
Their native range was as far north as St. Louis, Missouri.
Wow.
What we were told.
Okay. It's not just for the Everglades anymore. All right. Hey, Chris, thanks for the call, man. Thanks for being in the audience. I guess. Good Lord. So, I mean, this is getting lots of
well,
response.
I'm sure. Gators, watch out.
Tax increase in Vestavia. We don't care about that. We want to talk about gators
watch
in Madison.
Gators in Madison.
Kenneth from Somerville. Alligators released in Wheeler Refuge by the federal government. An invasive species released intentionally by a bureaucrat. There you go. Jay from Hartsel. How brave or stupid do you have to want to be a gator wrangler? I don't know. That's a job. Yeah. What's on your resume, gator wrangler?
I always liked watching The Crocodile Hunter.
Oh, I used to watch that,
I liked
yeah.
Him. Yeah.
Crikey.
Oh, crikey.
Steve from Huntsville, the gator story legend has it that NASA or Army individuals brought gators to the arsenal to handle the beaver population that was damming up the trees, that was damming up these test holding ponds, and now the alligators have gone berserk in the last 50 years. I'm aghast. I don't know what to say to this. I'm very little without words, but very few times. All right. Gator country, apparently. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Number 2 of the Triple Dipper coming up.